Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. By SEC, Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, the early cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, boy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, Shane. It's that time of year. The NFL draft's right around the corner. We don't spend a ton of time talking NFL draft, but I had a fun idea, Shane.
Okay.
I think you're going to like it. I think the cousins are going to like it. We're going to be able to hit on a number of teams here. But how's everything going with you, man?
Going good, man. Yeah, I always like draft. I always like, I mean, because you're always, you know, you're always wanting to, I guess, find the guy. You know what I'm saying? Find the guy that changes the franchise. And you, and we all got that guy in mind. And then 3 years later, we're like, where is he, by the way? You know, it's kind of what happens here, but it's always fun. It's always an exciting event. And I just hope the Steelers don't whiff on this one.
Yeah. Well, they probably will, but yeah,
probably a defensive player, like always.
Hey, but don't forget, buddy, with the draft here, they got all kinds of prop bets and things like that. You can wager on, head on over to mybookie.ag. That's a website presenting sponsor of the show. And give them that promo code, Shane, that SEC, THATSEC, over at mybookie. And hell, just sign up now and, you know, save your money till college football. Just start fading our picks. You'll be a millionaire by the end of the damn season. But if you do that, Shane, you go over to mybookie.ag. That's the website. You put in that promo code, that SEC, they're willing to give you a 50% instant deposit bonus.
Yes.
I mean, you can't beat it, can you?
No, this is free money. Come on now. So absolutely, there's always something to put a little money on, and it's always nice when it's not yours. So remember that promo code, that SEC.
All right, Shane. So, hey, a lot of the time we're going to talk about the draft.
Yes.
But I wanted to play this real quick. For anybody that missed it, big pickup for Texas. Credit Texas is whatever the hell they want, Shane. They come in this conference, we bad mouth and they kick us right in the teeth. They go right to the SEC championship. Now they're like, oh, we got us a freshman All-American on the defensive line from Syracuse named Murad Watson. I probably butchered that. Yeah. They got his ass. Come on, just come be a backup at old Syracuse. Well, shout out. This is a podcast I like to listen to. I don't know if you've ever listened to it, Shane. It's called The Audible. Stuart Mandel, Bruce Feldman, yeah. They do a hell of a job. But they had the Syracuse head coach Fran Brown on the show today. Mm-hmm. And he didn't specifically mention this Watson by name. He didn't even mention Texas, but this is clearly who he's talking about. He's talking about all the money he's getting. This is pretty interesting. So let's kick it over to this real quick, and then I got some thoughts on it.
I'm coming to you first. Hey, we need to give you this. Hey, we had a kid just leave us. D-tackle, I love him. He is legit. Like, he was a good football player for us. He did a good job. When they said the amount of money they offered him, I said, why the fuck are you talking to me, dog? You don't call them if they give you that? No, they did it early, the different people. Man, hit them up, man. Everybody, they all doing that cheating. Like, man, it was the number he told me. Why, for me to keep him here, I would have been that's cheating him and his family of what they can have. So I told him, hey, bro, I'm going to holler at you later. Yo, I love you, yo. I'm going to always love you and care about you. Go get that bread. You talk to the D-line coach? Nah, I just talked to this other dude. All right, bro. Just go get the money, though. I wish you the best, right? I mean, he was supposed to leave. Like, just because. It was like, I ain't paying you that. I'm going to come correct to make sure you know that you can be here. But, like, I'm not doing that because I didn't feel that was a need for what we need on our football team, too. It's one thing I'm not going to do is break the team. Because you could give one person something that everybody don't feel. Regardless of what they think, they all talk. So I have to make sure that I keep the program and the company running the right way. So no one person has ever won a game. Not one person going to win a game for you. It just don't go that way. In this team sport, you need all 11.
So, I really appreciate those comments, Shane, because it's very transparent.
Yeah.
I thought he was keeping it real there. But, you know, again, listen to what he's saying. I mean, this is a huge offer. Mm-hmm. And he asked him, did you talk to the defensive line coach? I don't even know who the hell it is. You know what I mean? I assume the Texas defensive line coach signed off on this, you know, like, let's go get this guy. We want him and all that. But I don't know. I heard that comment in the car and I was thinking about it for about like 10 minutes. And I'm not saying this is good. I'm not saying it's bad because you're worth what someone's willing to pay you, right?
Right.
But again, if you're just getting heaps of money, and I'm not even saying for Syracuse, I'm saying for Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're, again, it's about talent acquisition, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if, and I'm, you know, this is just a hypothetical, but what if this lineman doesn't get along with the defensive line coach at all?
Right.
What if he doesn't get along with the defensive coordinator at all?
Mm-hmm.
If we're just making this decision because Texas just threw a truckload of cash on me, again, I don't even know if that's good for Texas. I mean, am I crazy here? I mean, I feel like I'm old man yelling at the sky at this point, but I don't know. This just is kind of weird to me.
It is. But, you know, I think Texas did its due diligence before they just threw money at a kid. You know what I'm saying? So the defensive line, he may not know the defensive line coach, but by God, that defensive line coach knows exactly who he is and thinks that he is a pivotal piece in this defense moving forward. So, you know, I definitely get the comments here and the frustration if you're a Syracuse fan, because again, these are the schools that are going to absolutely get blistered the SEC and the Big Ten, you know, or some Big Ten schools. So I it doesn't blow my mind, but at the end of the day, I think that's what's going on. That's the nature of this game. And I'm not saying that all kids, I feel like there's a line, because I do feel like there is some legacies out there. I do feel like there's some loyalty out there. And the ones that get highlighted typically are in this transfer portal, not the kids that were recruited and stayed with the university the whole time, which is sad, but that's the nature of this game.
Yeah, and we're starting to see more and more guys, Shay, where they transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not rooting for this to happen to this kid, but we've seen it at several SEC schools where a guy will like transfer.
Yeah.
And then after a year, he says, well, I'm transferring back. You know what I mean? Like, and that may happen.
It happened in South Carolina. Yeah,
it did. It may happen at Tennessee. Shade Nathan Leacock hit the portal, went to spring ball at somewhere, I think Purdue. Now Tennessee's looking for a receiver. I mean, there's a chance he comes back to Rocky Top, who's looking for a receiver. But I mean, it's just wild, isn't it?
It is. That is this game, and you know, and it's funny, and I'm glad that outlets like On3 does this when they hit the portal. They show you every school that they've been through, not just where they came from. And sometimes there's four or five of these guys, and you're just like, damn, they really have been around the you know, like traveling with the circus or something. But that is where we're at, Mike, and there's going to be some of those. But again, I hate that they get all the attention sometimes when sometimes we don't look at what's on that roster, what's stuck around, what's making their, as he says, the bread. They're making the bread right now, you know, just by putting that time and effort in. But again, he may come down here and be yet another Texas kid that's in the NFL draft tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no doubt. Hey, real quick, last thing before we'll get into this, all this draft. So I got so many, graphics here to display, Shane, but a little update on Arkansas. With this, I guess, going after Madden Yamalava here. They're trying to get money from him. This was a quote, Shane, from one man, Mr. Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner. He was asked about this situation, and he says, you're seeing now over and over issues of contract law. And basically, this is a Legal minds can debate this. This is his exact quote. One of the realities now is anybody with a law degree and a Twitter account is an expert. They put something out, and I'll have a university president send it to me. It doesn't mean it's right. It's an opinion. You go back, and you're going to deal with these issues around agreements that are signed. Are they enforceable in this environment? Are they enforceable under the law? And that's to be determined. So, again, just based on that comment by Commissioner Greg Sankey, I think he's saying, hell, I don't know. I don't know if Arkansas can get money back.
Yeah.
And again, he's not specifically shouting out Madden here in Arkansas, but I think it's pretty clear he is, or anybody that is trying to potentially get money back from a player that has signed, made some money, then transferred. This just kind of highlights the weirdness of this all. We're like, hell, not even the commissioner of the conference knows if this is something that can be done.
Yeah, this is not being transparent, is what this is, Mike. Sankey's not telling you exactly how he feels of the situation, but you got to be careful because you represent all 16 teams, not just one. And it is funny because, you know, we're talking about the Nico's family here. We just took one from UCLA, and nobody's talking about the money that maybe they gave that quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it is murky, but I do feel like it's coming to a head. I feel like there's going to be a moment, maybe this season, definitely next year, I feel like, where there's a little bit more rules in place for situations like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who rules, Shane?
Who's that?
Legend, Cousin JR has done it again. The legend, Cousin JR.
Oh, well, that's on repeat. We appreciate you, Cousin JR. He just gifted a membership, Shane. This time to Phil Miller. Phil.
Welcome to the family.
And I thought I had it, but I don't have it loaded. Cousin, he sent us even more clips. So we got a welcome to the family. We got more sound effects coming, but we all know who's fun in this show right now, Shane.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Thank you, JR. Oh, man, what a guy. What a guy.
You. Thank you. Hey, James, I appreciate the voiceovers and the time. I'm going to have him set up my voicemails, you know, so when people call my phone, Cousin James, not here right now.
All right. Hey, into the NFL draft. Whoa. I don't know what the hell's going on over here. I thought this would be a fun way to do this, Shane.
Yeah.
NFL draft preview, comments from anonymous scouts. I love these anonymous people, Shane, because I feel like, you know, they give you the real insight. Yeah. And these come via Bob McGinn. He's covered the NFL for over 40 years, Shane. Mm-hmm. And there's not only, I think, does this give you insights into the prospects as they come into the NFL.
Yeah.
But I think this is really valuable for us college football SEC diehards to kind of wrap your head around, all right, how difficult is this guy going to be to replace?
Yeah.
Or how easy is it maybe for the next guy to be even better? You know what I mean? So yeah, there's many different ways to look at this. So this is not just 100% draft, but I highlighted some outstanding comments. But check out this one real quick. Let's start with the quarterback, Shane, because everybody loves quarterbacks. We all know that. This is pretty wild, Shane. This is, again, from a executive personnel director in the NFL. The league has lost their way. We can't be honest with ourselves anymore because everybody needs a quarterback. This is the most overblown group of quarterbacks. Every last one of them is overrated and inflated. Wherever they end up, they're a half a round to a round overrated, Shane. Oh, my goodness. They're going in on the quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are a effed up position. I'm not going to read the whole damn thing, but what's your takeaway when you hear that, Shane, after we've heard months and months of Cam Ward, Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders? They're saying all these guys are...
Pump the brakes. Because that's what happens usually, just like in fantasy football. You go too early on a quarterback and it ends up costing you dear. So, you know, spending all that money, all the time and resources into a kid, it's not like you could just say, hey, let's make it work. No, I mean, this is a situation that could have an effect over 3 or 4 years, you know, especially if you put all your eggs in one basket. So quarterback, it's a much needed position, but it's also very, very hard to find the one that you can rely on, because that's what basically you're trying to do here. And the problem is, kind of with those comments, I even thought about this. You know, we start the season off with your quarterback power rankings, you know?
Right.
One of my favorite shows. And then my favorite part is going back and like rewatching it just to see how right or wrong we usually are in those. But I couldn't help but think this at the end of the season, that part of the reason the SEC was so down was because the quarterbacks were overrated. And so I cannot argue with this. I feel like I feel like the SEC should have provided three or four teams in the league. And I felt like some of those teams were hindered because the quarterback was not near as good as we pumped them up at the start of the season.
Yeah. Wait, we? No, I'm just kidding.
It is your list.
Well, let's start with some of the quarterbacks, Shane. And again, I'm just going to do SEC guys. We don't give a damn about Cam or Shadur, Sander, whoever. I mean, if they didn't play in the SEC, again, they may be fantastic players, fantastic people, Shane. Get the hell out of here. Let's go Jackson Dart, who's rising up the draft charts here. And again, you can read the comments for yourself if you got a magnifying glass over there. But one scout said, hey, now Jackson Dart apparently is shooting up the draft boards, right, Shane?
Yes.
A lot of people think he's going to be a first-round pick. This guy says, I give him a second to a third-round grade. Mm. Another one says, you know, I might take Jackson over Shadur Sanders. So again, very, very mixed here. Another one says he might be the best athlete of all the quarterbacks in the draft. So there's some praise there. But this one I thought was a little damning, Shane, but I think this is kind of realistic. That this is clearly a guy that they're scouting quarterbacks. They're looking for a guy. He says, I never walked out of their stadium or their practice field saying, oh my God, that's the guy we've got to have. What's your thoughts when you hear those things about old Jackson Dart?
Now, the inconsistency is tough to put money on it. You know, when you talk about a first draft, I just told you about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're later in the draft, but they're expecting, you know, Dart and Sanders to kind of be there at that round. And me as a Steeler fan, like, no, I don't want to touch it. Now, if it goes to the second round, even the third, yes, I think there's an opportunity. And I feel like for Jackson to actually have a shot in the NFL, I feel like he needs to do it behind somebody. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like he needs to be the face of the franchise. You know, we're asking for him week four because we're, you know, starting out the season 1-3 or something. So, I get what they're saying. And the inconsistencies for me, I look at the Kentucky game. I look at the Florida game in particular. The Florida was the damning one for me, you know, hostile environment. And yes, I understand the injuries and the running back situation, but there's nobody other than Gator fans thought that Ole Miss was going to lose that game. And that's a game you want a franchise quarterback to really take over. And I felt like he had the opportunity. He could have seized it and he lost it.
Yeah. Well, how about Jalen Milroe, Shane? Now this, as soon as I read these comments, I sent them over to Shane. I was like, boy, yeah, listen to what they're saying about old Milroe. Jalen Milroe, he's got the highest ceiling of all the quarterbacks, but the throwing, he's a couple years away from being ready to play in the NFL. How about, here's the money quote, Shane. He had three coordinators at Alabama. Every one of them left with less hair than they had going into the job. They would tell the kid to play on the sideline, and by the time it got to the huddle, it was all messed up. With the ball under his arm as a runner, he's instinctive, as you'll find, with the ball in his hand in a cocked position. It's like he's got blinders on. So, I mean, all over the map with Jalen Milroe, as to be expected. Again, he's going to be at the NFL draft. He's going to be attending it.
Yep.
I think he's the ultimate wild card. I mean, hell, a lot of the quarterbacks last year, not that they're comparable necessarily to Milroe, like a Bo Nix, like a Penix. You know, I don't think anybody had them being top 10 picks or whatever the hell they were, yet they were. So could Jalen Milroe, I mean, it honestly wouldn't stun me, Shane, if Jalen Milroe is like a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Because it just takes one team to fall in love with him. But it wouldn't stun me either if he's like a second round pick either. So I have no clue what the NFL thinks of Jalen Milroe, but he's the one I'm kind of the most fascinated to see where he goes in the upcoming draft.
You know, rest in peace, but this was always a Raiders pick. You know what I'm saying? Like you could about guarantee that he was going to be playing over there in Oakland, but I don't think he is going to be a first round. What I do like about Milroe is the upside that he has. And I mean, anybody that's ever watched him, the kid's just a gifted athlete, and sometimes they make things happen. But unfortunately, you're putting all that money and time into somebody, you want more than just legs. You want somebody that is the total package. And one thing that, you know, probably not mentioned in this list that I think is overlooked is his personality. You know, he is going, it wouldn't take him long to win over that locker room. So I'm sure that's part of the reason why he's starting to get some of these first round grades, not to mention just the upside that he provides. But I don't think he leaves tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he's going to be a day two kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how about this nickname? Shane started to go off topic here. Joey Swagular. Could we be breaking him down next draft?
Joey Swagular. I like that. Yeah, you creative bastard, you.
Hey, how about Quinn Ewers, Shane? Again, this is another guy who, man, all over the map. I believe he was literally the highest rated recruit in 24/7 history, something crazy like that. Here's what the scouts are saying. He'll be a good backup that can maybe spot start some games. He started his college career very immature, not a real buy into the process guy like you want your quarterback to be. His issue is overall ability, not a great athlete. You saw the lack of mobility and the lack of pocket strength. It just killed him when they got to play against Georgia and Ohio State. So what are your thoughts on that, Shane? Again, I think this is the one guy where you look around at what Nico's wanting and Carson Beck and on and on and on. It's still kind of, I'm still scratching my head a little bit to why Quinn Ewers maybe passed up that that payday, one final payday in college football, because I think he would have made a ton of money next year, more than he would have made in the NFL. Particularly when again, this is just one scout. I mean, I don't think this is just one scout with all these comments, but the one saying, you know, he's a good backup. If that is what he is, It's kind of interesting that that he's trying his hand at the NFL over a big payday. But you know, I get it from the sense of not wanting to hurt his legacy at Texas. But what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's easy to pick apart anybody's game when they're playing Georgia and Ohio State. Mm-hmm. But there may be some truth to those comments too.
Well, doesn't it just feel like a veteran backup is coming here? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that Quinn won't have an opportunity to win a job somewhere, but he has that kind of, in my opinion, a little bit of that Fitzmagic, you know, or Gardner Minshew. I saw him with the mullet, and you're just like, man, this guy's staying in the league forever. I feel like as long as Quinn stays healthy, he will always be on a football team somewhere. It reminds me of that Daniel Tosh joke where he's like, how much money do you make as a backup? Oh, I'll do that. You know, how much you make on the practice squad? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll do that. So I feel like Ewers will be in the NFL for a long, long time, but just I have zero, like out of 100, I would say 22% of me says that he will be the face of a franchise.
Hey, update here from Cousin Jack, Shane. Hopefully Quinn Ewers goes to Nashville. He loves Cracker Barrel.
Well, if he does that, then I'll move that number.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, he won't be a start. Maybe, you know, a starter goes down or whatever. Yeah. He goes in there, he wins the Saints, you know, three of their last four.
Yeah.
And then they're like, buddy, we gotta give this guy $20 million a year. You know, yeah. I could see that being in his future. I really could.
Or get sent somewhere, and then he doesn't get the starting job when he's over there, and then all of a sudden he catches fire again. They're like, hey, let's try him down here in Carolina, you know? So,
hey, how about MIZSEC? Gave us a donation. $5. Appreciate you, cousin.
Thank you, cuz.
Didn't that Miro fella lose to a Sunbelt team in Norman? his words, not mine, but that's pretty funny.
It's pretty bad, but you know, it's tough for an MIZ to throw an Alabama joke. You know what I'm saying? You got that ass ran out.
All right. So that's all we got on the quarterbacks. Again, just doing SEC guys here, Shane. How about this, though? I thought this was, some of these guys, you could tell they're old timers with some of the stuff they say. This Jadon Blue, I love this. This was hilarious, Shane. Jadon Blue, Texas running back. He's a second or third round pick if he can pass pro. Now, here's the comment for you, Shane. I'm highlighting this just for you. Doesn't have a ton of ass behind him. Come on, you old bastard. With these, you know, breaking down these players like this. Sort of a knockoff Jahmyr Gibbs. He's a good receiver. So yeah. I get the comps. Gibbs, to my recollection, I know he played at Alabama, but was that Sarkisian? I feel like Sarkisian, you know, he's a Sarkisian type back. So I get the 1-1, but Gibbs is, he's doing a hell of a job in the NFL. Last I checked with the Lions, I think it is. So if Blue could be similar to that, I mean, who knows? He could be a high round pick.
Yeah. I mean, for the front office, I don't know how well he'll do, but if you're into fantasy football, this is a guy you want circled. This is your, you know what I'm saying? This is kind of like your Hail Mary at the end of the draft, because I feel like he is going to provide a lot of opportunities out of the backfield. And as long as he stays healthy, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I wonder about health with especially with running backs and maybe just missing action. Then all of a sudden they find that second leg in the NFL. So I feel like, say what you want, I feel like Blue is perfect for what a lot of these NFL teams are trying to do. So another kid that I would expect to be in the NFL for a long time.
Yeah. Well, how about Dylan Sampson, Shane? Mm-hmm. I know we loved what he did at Tennessee last year, but the scouts say different. Oh man, we should fire these scouts, Shane. May slide to the fifth round. What? How dare they, Shane? He says Trevor Etienne, a willing blocker. This guy, they don't even use him as a blocker. He doesn't do special teams. Now, in fairness, Shane, another one says he was productive in the SEC. That counts for a lot. But the knock on him, you see it time and time in the comments over here, is lack of versatility. You think that could hurt old Dylan Sampson, Shane, after his outstanding year at Tennessee last fall?
No. No, I don't. I mean, because the proof's in the pudding. Tennessee didn't have a lot to showcase. I mean, there's going to be a ton of highlight reels for Sampson here. And to say fifth round, I think is an absolute steal. If a team, if Sampson makes it there and you pick him up, this is the home run. This is when we look back, we say, well, which team did the best? It'll be the team that has Sampson on the roster. So yeah, I think this is a little bit dumb. I think he's a great athlete. I think he was the face of, like I said, Tennessee's offense. Smart kid, very smart kid. I feel like the next level, he'll be ready. Long as he's durable. I mean, he was a bell cow in Knoxville, but I think that also helps you a little bit when you're looking for something, you know, especially if you're looking for ass in the next level, you know what I'm saying?
Cousin Ben says, Shay talking about pudding again, getting off track.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
How about a shout-out to Texas receiver Shane Matthew Golden? Mm-hmm. He is flying up the draft board. Sounds like he's going to be a first-round pick. Whenever they need a play, he's the one that was that guy. He will be a difference maker as he moves up to another level. Mm-hmm. Shane, NFL people falling in love with old Matthew Golden here. It sounds like he's going to come off the board pretty early.
When did this turn to the Texas podcast, Mike? I mean, is that how many Texas kids we going to have in the NFL?
Oh, there's a couple more, believe you me.
No, I do like the upside of Golden, and I feel like I'm not saying he didn't hit the ceiling down there in Austin, but I feel like paired with the right guy, paired in the right offense, this is a kid that could really shine. Maybe not year one because it's really hard to do. Year one, but definitely year two, year three. This is a kid that has huge potential.
Yeah. How about, speaking of Texas, Shane, I'm doing this just for you. Isaiah Bond. Of course, he played at Alabama too, old Gravedigger. But, man, these comments are harsh, brother. Prototypical what you would think of a receiver. Just generic boilerplate. Selfish. Diva. But, God, he's got an incredible skill set. You wish a guy with his skill set had better overall body in terms of production. He's a first-round talent, but combined character and production, and whether he goes first-round or not, I don't know. So this is another one to watch, Shane. Isaiah Bond in the upcoming draft. All it takes, Shane, one team to fall in love with him. Yeah. But, it's interesting. Played at Alabama, excelled, played at Texas. You know, got banged up some at Texas, but hell of a player. But, that's, again, just one guy's opinion there, but pretty wild comments.
Pretty wild. But, you think of some of the best wide receivers ever, you know, I go back to Keyshawn, give me the damn ball. That's the kind of kid I feel like Bond can be.
Yeah.
And that's a guy you ultimately want and don't want on your team. You know, I mean, there's those guys that you're just like, you absolutely love that he's on there, but then all of a sudden he may be a little bit chaotic or drama or you know, shit in the locker room. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here, but I feel like those wild cards can be really, really good for your team.
Yeah. And then, ooh, buddy, cover your ears. You ain't going to like this one. This one, when it made the rounds with this guy's Bob McGinn's articles, it went pretty viral. But Luther Burden, now they do compare him to Deebo Samuel. So boom, there you go.
Yeah.
Elite, right? I mean, we love the guy. I don't know how you can draft him in the first round, says one guy. He's a five-star. They kissed his ass for 3 years just to keep him there. His girlfriend is his manager. He's a good player on Saturday, but he's very ordinary Monday through Friday.
Damn.
And you may be saying, well, what the hell does that mean, Monday through Friday? Well, you know, they're just talking about the work that it takes to get to Saturday, the preparation, the film, all that and the other. And one other guy, you know, said, well, hell, he damn quit during the A&M game, which I don't know if that's true, but that's what one of them alleges. So Luther Burden is going to be a wild one to watch during the draft. See, he may fall. He may be a top 10 pick.
Yeah. This one, I mean, you hear, it's like a 50-50 camp. You know, you hear half of them saying he was great. You know, everybody loved him and he'd do anything and everything for a teammate. And then you hear the opposite where a little bit of a diva, a little bit of a drama queen. And, you know, I don't know about the A&M game, but I wasn't there, but I did watch him pouting on the sideline. It was an obvious bad game, but you know, I hate to dock somebody for one outing. This is a kid that is loyal. You know what I'm saying? And we just talk about transfers all the time. This is a kid that could have gone anywhere, just like his teammate did to Georgia. You know, this is a kid that stuck around. And I feel like that is, in fact, recruited and helped that wide receiver room get better. So as far as the locker room, I'm not worried about that. This is a kid that I just, nothing against Brady, okay? But even if we power rank quarterbacks right now of last year's quarterback or the last 3 years of quarterbacks, Brady would not be in the top, 40%, 50%? You know what I'm saying? We're talking about freak athletes at this next level and paired with on the right team. I think Luther could be a steal. And now, again, if he slips, then that's going to be somebody's treasure.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that. I don't know if you saw it, but it was – I didn't share it. I didn't think it was worth sharing. But it was like a month ago, someone put out a, you know, I just watched Luther Burden, and it's, you know, it was clips of Brady Cook overthrowing him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that. It went pretty viral, and it was just like, how the hell are you reading this into this is bad on Luther? I mean, literally he's wide open, and he's 10 yards over his head. That's on Luther. I don't get it. But one other thing. You know, it's very easy to look at the A&M game and say, yeah, he's pouting, he's angry on the sideline. I would rather have that, Shane.
Yeah.
Than some guy's getting his ass kicked and is high-fiving and laughing. I mean, because you see that too. And him being upset doesn't mean he's pouting. He's probably just pissed off that all the work they're putting in is not showing itself on the field. You know what I mean? So it's however you want to slice it. You know what I mean? So you know, you could look at one guy doing something and it could be completely different. You know what?
If you had a camera in my living room, you saw my fat ass pouting, you know, because I put a lot of money on that game.
Hey, how about this one, Shay, from cousin Brian Moore? Seen Matthew Golden going to the Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb on the other side, Golden on the other. Could be interesting. You know, I love it. All fans seemingly do this, Shane, where it's like, clearly Brian Moore, Texas guy.
Yeah.
Probably likes Cowboys. You know, you want your guy to go to your team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Remember when Johnny Manziel was coming out, the Netflix documentary, like, oh, he's going to the Cowboys. Cowboys are like, we never even considered his ass. You know what I mean? Like, it's always, I always hear it from Georgia fans. The Falcons never draft a damn Bulldog. I just think that's funny. But, hey, I hope for his sake.
Tennessee, same way. You know, when they drafted Will Levis, it was like, you want to talk about tour fan base. They're like, what? What? But I hate him. Probably still do.
Hey, how about this comment? So on Trey Harris, I don't know if I agreed with all of them, Shay, but well, this was hilarious. Again, old coach comments here. He was at La Tech, played his way into a promotion at Ole Miss. I mean, that's quite literally what it was, but it's just kind of funny to hear that. The stats don't bear it out, but when he was in the lineup, they played better than when he was shelved. I think that speaks very highly of him. But also it says, at worst, he's a number three in the NFL. At best, probably a middle-of-the-pack number two. And the reason I say I don't necessarily agree with that, I mean, man, the guy was dominant at times in the SEC. So I think they might be sleeping on old Trey Harris a little bit.
Yeah, again, banged up. But like he said, there wasn't a lot of receivers that when they were outside the huddle, you noticed a huge impact. It felt like when Trey was not in there, Ole Miss was totally different. And it almost like it stole a little bit of that mystique that they did have coming into these football games. So that, I think, is more on Trey than it is, you know, Jackson or Lane Kiffin's system. So, yeah, this may stay healthy. This may be a kid that grows up into a good program, good wide receiver for sure.
Right. When Lane Kiffin is structuring his offense around a receiver,
yeah,
you know that receiver's a hell of a player. That's how I read it.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, buddy, you're going to love this one. How about old Mason Taylor, Shane, LSU tight end?
You know who his dad is?
Oh, it's on here. Believe me. He keeps getting better and better. I don't think LSU used him enough. He should have been more productive, but their offense was kind of a mess. Another guy says he's a starting player in this league. And then here, right here is for you, Shane. I scouted his daddy. He followed in his dad's footsteps. And they go on to say, well, his mother is Zach Thomas's sister. Oh. You know what I mean? It's like, good Lord, like who the hell cares? But I just think it's hilarious. We can't escape who his dad was, but, you know, good comments there from Mason Taylor. And interesting, like I said, if I'm an LSU fan, I'm saying here, whoa, what are they saying about the offense with Joe Sloan and all this? That would concern me slightly. Again, just one guy's opinion. But if this guy's like a day one instant starter, why the hell didn't LSU utilize him a little bit more? I think that's fair to wonder.
I do wonder it. And kind of surprised me. We didn't talk tight ends much, but this is one that obviously came up more than others. And we thought, you know, now that Brock's gone, this was going to be the next guy that kind of steps up and takes the reins of an SEC tight end. And I never got it. There was a couple big moments, a couple good games, but I didn't watch him the last 3 years and say, you know what? NFL's getting a great one right here. They're getting a good serviceable tight end. But I do like the upside, and maybe it's more about the system he was in than, you know, the opportunities that were presented to him. Because that's it too, Mike. Sometimes these tight ends just don't get the shots until they go to a new team or the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Ghetto wants to know, is Auburn going to have anyone drafted? Man, we damn bad. I think old Jarquez Hunter's going to get drafted.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one because they never used him. So he should have plenty of. He's fresh. He's ready to go in, that's for sure.
Hey, speaking of LSU, Shane, how about Will Campbell? He's very likely going to be the first tackle taken in the draft. How about this comment? He can do it all. He's got Pro Bowl talent. His arms are a little short. That's the only concern. And how about now? Here, this may be the best quote of this whole thing, Shane.
Yeah.
His interview. He sounded like a head coach at a Power Four school. It was incredible. One of the best interviews I've heard in my life. So if it doesn't work out for old Will Campbell on the offensive line in the NFL, sounds like he's got his job as a professional interviewer. You know what?
Well, I mean, we did love his clips at the start of the season last year, you know? So he's definitely a team leader. You know, he's I think, a lot. Most people got him a top five pick, probably going to go to the Patriots or something. I mean, there's nothing more Patriot than Will Campbell, is there? So I think he'll fit in well up there in the New England state. And I feel like he's going to be one of those guys that there for a long, long time, no matter how long or short his arms are.
How about Tyler Booker, Shane standout, offensive lineman, Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
He's been paid a lot of money. There is some maturity there. Is it funny, Shane? Some guys get paid, you're like, man, he can really handle himself. Other guys get paid, you're like, oh, man. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of funny. He's a starting guard in the NFL yesterday. Ooh. Guards don't typically go in the first round, but he will. So, again, Alabama losing maybe the best guard in the entire nation,
mm-hmm.
in the entire NFL draft, Tyler Booker. Sounds like whoever he's going to is going to get a hell of a player.
Yeah, very good player. And, again, you know, it's not the sexy pick. It's not the one you want to see on you know, the first day of the draft, but it's one that you are excited that you have on your roster when your quarterback's staying upright. So this is the one when you're trying to bring somebody in and you're like, hey, let me look at that offensive line. Oh, he's there? Yeah, I'm coming. So I feel like this is a good move if you can get him in the first round. Bama, still, I mean, it's funny because you never think – I used to think of offensive line when I thought of Alabama, and then it kind of drifted. But here the last couple of years, there's always like one or two guys that are just elite, and you're just wondering, why can't Alabama run the football, you know?
Well, if you would have told me, Shane, there's a Missouri player that's going to get drafted before Luther,
yeah,
before the season, I would have said, you're damn crazy. But I think it's going to happen, Shane. Armon Membu.
Yes.
Outstanding offensive lineman. If you are set everywhere else on your offensive line, Membu could be the best one in the draft. He's a hell of a right tackle. Some think he can even play left tackle, but he's not done it yet. He's a solid first rounder. So Armon Membu here, right tackle. You know, it wouldn't surprise me either, Shane. He dominated at the combine. Yeah. I think that's when people really started to wake up to how good of a player he's been in the SEC the last several years. But probably not just a first rounder, probably a top first half first rounder. Yeah.
The 40 time heard round the world. It's like, damn, that big boy moving. So, yes, this is, I mean, obviously he got a lot of attention then, but man, he's on everybody's board. This is a top 10 draft pick right here. And it is funny because you may have realized what you have, but sometimes you have a kid on your team. And you watch him like 10, you know, 5, 6, 7 years later, you're like, man, why didn't I know that he was a Pro Bowler? I mean, I'm not saying that he will be, but he definitely has the potential to be.
Mm-hmm. Ben, best offensive line ass available. How about, speaking of Texas, Shane, Kelvin Banks, left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of high praise for him. He played left tackle. But he's sort of got right tackle features. If he fails at left tackle, he will be a right tackle in this league. He's got the most value of any of the tackles in the draft. He looks like a guard, but let him fail at left tackle first because they are so hard to find. So it's interesting that everyone commenting says, left tackle, he's going to fail, but he'll find a home. You know what I mean? Like they're waiting for him to fail, but... I see the point. Like left tackle, premier position. But you know, heading into the year, he was in contention for maybe the top overall player drafted. I still think he'll be probably a top 10-ish type pick. But interesting comments. I thought
one of the most controversial tweets was when I put one out, Campbell and Banks asking which one's the better offensive line. You know, so I mean, I think we look back, both these kids are very productive, but. One thing I like about Banks is his versatility. So, yeah, if he doesn't make it as a, you know, a blindside left tackle, you know, he has the opportunity to move inside that offensive line and be very productive. So, yeah, I like the versatility, and I think that's why he's so high on the board.
Yeah. How about this, Shane? This is Georgia fans are going to love this comment. Da-da-da-da. One thing I give credit for any player in Georgia, they get coached hard and they practice hard all year. You go to a Tuesday or Wednesday practice in October in Athens, and they're all good on good, running to the ground. You got to be tough to play there in Athens. And so I just wanted to leave because we're going to get a lot of dogs here in just a second, Shane. But starting with Tate Ratledge, Shane, it says he was leader in the locker room. Even when he's banged up, he was an important part of that offensive line. So that's the good, but here's the bad. Little stiff, balance issues, and then here's, I can't believe it, Shane, they're attacking the mullet here. If he didn't have the mullet and attracted all the cameras and attention, I think he'd be a backup player in this league. Availability is job security. So, you know, maybe some of that is just questioning, you know, how injury-free he can stay. But to go after a man's mullet, I mean, that is below the belt, in my opinion.
It's a Tennessee guy, isn't it? We're finally getting to the bottom of it, huh? Ripping the sticker off the truck. Sorry, Ratledge. No, I will say this. I hate how he went to Georgia. I hate that whole situation, but I can't argue with the fact that he's in the middle of every locker room video I've ever seen, you know, and I feel like this is a kid that is going to fit in. Now, he may not, you know, sometimes an offensive line, the best offensive lines are the ones you don't even know about, because usually when they fuck up, that's when you're like, hey, who was supposed to be blocking him? You know, I feel like Tate has that ability. And again, if Coach Stride, like in Georgia, I feel like he's a guy that can stay in the NFL for a long period of time as well.
Yeah, and then another one, Shane, they got on the offensive line.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say the F word. I'm sorry, Mom.
It didn't load. Let me see if I can get it real quick. Where are we at here? Boom. Jared Wilson. Come on down, Shane. Another dog. Going to get drafted and get drafted early. Probably a good sixth offensive lineman in the NFL. He could be a backup everywhere in the three interior spots. But how about this, Shane? If he would have went back to school, probably a first rounder in the next draft. So, you know, maybe a little bit to work with there. But if they're telling you you could be a first rounder in the near future, you know, I'm sure you can work your way into being an elite player in the NFL. But the fact that, you know, we're critiquing Georgia players and saying, well, I don't know, he could have been a first rounder and he stayed one more year. Well, he's probably going to be, at worst, a second rounder this year. You know what?
Well, they told me I could be an astronaut in the third grade, and look at me now, Mike.
They were wrong, weren't they?
way off, Miss Eldridge.
Speaking of Georgia, Shane, how about this Jalen Walker? I mean, these comments, these are off the charts here. I think this guy is for sure going to be a top 10 pick. He's a defensive coordinator's dream. You can line him up all across the defensive front. There is a defensive coordinator right now watching this guy and frothing at the mouth as to what we can do with this guy and create pressures on the quarterback. So I don't see any way Jalen Walker is not one of the top defensive players selected in the upcoming NFL draft. He was just a game wrecker in a lot of these games. You know, he really jumped off the page to me.
Did he buy a house in Philadelphia yet? You know, I'm just curious.
The only problem, I don't think he's going to last that long.
Oh, well, you're probably right. You're probably right. But you know the Eagles are foaming at the mouth to have another one come up there. So, now this kid's legit. And I, you know, sometimes there's, like, questionable. We talked to, like Jackson. I can't hate to keep picking on him. But Quinn, the quarterback situation, there's some that aren't. You just know is going to be successful, and this is one of them.
Yeah. Well, another one, Shane, that could be, it's got the talent, but all of a sudden it's wild how after the year everybody's like, oh, I don't know about this. James Pierce could be, you know, rumored to be top overall pick. Certainly it's not going to happen now. Some scouts worry about this guy. I thought this was weird, Shane. I heard this shout out to our guy T-Bob. Love their snaps show. Here's a quote from one of these scouts. He sits by himself on the sidelines, 20 yards away from anybody else on the team. A lot of emotional outburst and inconsistency. And why I shouted out old T-Bob. Did you ever see that movie, Shane? I think you were just asking me about it. Draft Day, Kevin Costner?
Yes. Nobody came to his party. Is that what you're saying?
I heard T-Bob say that. I was like, that's too good not to share. But I don't know if that's the reality with James Pierce, but apparently that is seemingly why, you know, NFL people are a little bit down on him.
Well, I mean, there's a different level of crazy, you know, on that defensive front. You know, I think of Tennessee great John Henderson getting smacked before a football game. You know, it's like do you really want to hang out around that? You know, somebody that's just geared that way. So I don't know. I think Pierce has a lot of upside. You know, there's a lot of people that question, you know, his ability at the next round, but I don't know, brother. I feel like Pierce has it, and not so much just living in the backfield, but the motor that he has. There's not a lot of defensive linemen have the motor like he does. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like he's going to have, I think he'll have success on the next level as well.
Yeah. It's different. Quarterback, you know, quarterback's got to lead the team. Defensive end, edge player, you just got to kill the other quarterback. You know, who cares? You know, if people come to your birthday party or not, you know what?
Would you, you're going to come though, right? You're going to be there.
Oh, I'll be there. I'd also be at Texas Traveler's birthday. Shane, he just became a member to the channel. Texas Traveler,
welcome to the family.
We draft you in the first round. I'll tell you that.
Real quick, a lot of people, I've gotten a couple of questions about this, how to become a family member. And it's hard if you're on an iPhone because they don't make it easy. But in the show notes, Mike does send a link. And if you go into the link, you can click on there and become a cousin with that, or get on a desktop computer, do it the old school way. So I appreciate everybody take the time to be part of the family thumbs up. I know before we're getting carried away, Mike, since I'm doing a little sidebar here, thank you for those thumbs up. That really does help out as well.
It does. You know what helps Georgia out, Shane?
What helps Georgia out?
Michael Williams. Shout out. Here's another one. I interviewed him. He got really fired up when I started asking him about teams banging on him for lack of production. He said, I can't wait for this. I played what the coaches told me to play. I get 10 sacks on the edge in the NFL. I thought this guy was better than Trayvon Walker. Remember, Trayvon Walker went number one overall a couple years ago to the Jaguars. He has turned into a very solid NFL player. But, man, they are loving them. So Michael Williams in draft circles, I think he is for sure going to be a first round pick too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Georgia. Now, we're going to look back, I think, at some point at Georgia and all the NFL talent they've put in the league. It's, I'm sure they're sneaking up on some sort of record. If you itemize a couple of their years, I think Georgia's up there. Who has more picks, the SEC or the Big Ten this year? I cause I've seen a lot of Oregon. I've seen a lot of Ohio State, obviously, but I see a lot of Georgia, a lot of Texas, a lot of Ole Miss. Day one. Let's just do day one, not the entire draft, but day one.
I was about
one.
To say, Shane, it's like who's, 20 years in a row. SEC, come on.
Who's okay? I just wanted to make sure we're still on the same boat.
It'll be SEC. It's always SEC. Come on.
Okay.
I think ACC got them 1 year just in the first round, but not overall. It ain't happening, Shane. It ain't all happening.
Right. I love it. I'm just making sure.
Damn near every one of these guys I've referenced is a first rounder, including Mr. Walter Joe or Walter Nolan. Shut up. A tremendous athlete. He's, this was another good one, Shane. He's a little full of bullshit, but extremely talented. Sort of like an Albert Haynesworth, except not quite as big. I question the guy's desire and overall toughness and physicality. So there is some questions about him. You know, one of the highest rated players to ever go to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But, you know, he lived up to the billing, I thought, for the most part. And he was an anchor for that defense last year.
Really was, man. And we went into this season talking about how great that offense was going to be. And I felt like that was the disappointment. The surprise for me was how good Ole Miss was, especially up front. It couldn't have been without Walter Nolan. So, definitely a big get for them, and I think whoever picks him up the next level will definitely reap the benefits as well.
Yeah, and then how about this one, Shay? You will love this one. These comments on old Alfred Collins, Texas defensive lineman, Shane. He's just a junkyard dog. He just messes shit up in there. Just a load at the point of attack. He's the type of guy you need to win. Not a Pro Bowler or a 10-sack guy, just a guy that's going to wreck things and be a problem. I love hearing comments like this. You know what?
I had a dog like that once, you know, just come in there, shoes ripped up, couch chewed on, you know, it's just, you hate it at the time, but as long as it's someone else's furniture and shoes, you're okay with it. So
How about Shamar Stewart, Shane? Very hyped at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
You know, we got to set the record, he said, for sacks, all this, that, and the other. He's a classic example of a guy that has no idea how to play football.
Yes.
Doesn't know how to take on blocks, doesn't know how to find the ball. He crushed at the combine, but in the games, he's a non-factor, just can't figure it out. This could be fascinating to see where he goes in the draft. Could be a high round pick.
Yeah.
But, I think that's a fair critique that it looks like $1 million, but just never quite translated into the field.
Yeah. No. Has all the attributes to be the best person. I mean, could have potentially been the first pick in this draft. You know what I'm saying? But there were moments in the season you were scratching your head saying, what the hell was he thinking? So I feel like with the right team, with the right development, there is not more upside on any of the kids that you've mentioned right now than Mr. Stewart. I think he's one of those guys that, man, if he's with the right coach, this is a kid that could be Hall of Famer, man. I really think that he has that ability. But if he doesn't grasp it, he could be a kid that gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. How about, you ain't going to like this one, Shane. Omar Norman Lott. I thought he was a hell of a player at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
At the combine, he was a disaster. He won't be as high a pick as people were saying. People hyped him up. I didn't think he was all that much. Man, what Vanderbilt guy wrote all these comments? You know what?
Probably, yeah. So I probably should pull up his highlights and see which team he wrecked last season because, you know, he, a little inconsistent, but obviously was a great, you talk about disruption. That's what he was really good at. A big bodied guy that can just chew up blocks and make the linebackers' lives easy. So,
on the interior, that's so hard to get to the quarterback in the interior. He was there time and time again. So I don't know what the hell this scout was seeing, but I got to disagree with it.
Yeah, his agent is not happy with that article.
He was happy about this one, though, Shay. Shout out Malachi Starks. He's going to be another top pick. Everybody loves these Georgia defenders, Shane. Here's what they say about him. Everybody at Georgia loves this guy. They think he's a slam dunk. He could play nickel. He could play safety. He could play corner. Everybody stands on the table when they talk about him. Top 20. If he comes out last year, he's easily a top 10 pick. Of course, he was ineligible. You have to play 3 years, of course, but three and done. But he looks like the next great Georgia defender to hit the NFL draft, Malachi Starks.
Yep. Very versatile too. He's not a one trick pony. This is a kid that can float around. Did float around in college. He has the ability to get in the box, line up. I mean, the kid is just an absolute freak athlete. He's got a fit though. I feel like there's got to be a perfect fit out there. I think he finds it in the first round.
Mm-hmm. And then how about a lot of praise here, Shane, for a former South Carolina defensive back, Nick Amawari here, self-made kid from a small town in South Carolina. He was a three-star, I believe, coming out. I don't see how this guy fails. If he plays for a team that uses him as a safety linebacker, he's going to be great. This guy is a force of nature, unless he quits in the middle of the game. But that's neither here nor there, Shane. That's only bad thing I can say about him. That left a bad taste in my mouth, but go on. Go have success in the NFL. You know what?
Yeah, again, a lot of upside, just a crazy good athlete, very fast, very mobile. He'll be very successful if you can control what's between the ears. And sometimes that's tough to do at the next level when more money's involved, but I feel like definitely this is a kid that can have success.
And then last two here, Shane. I just thought this was too awesome not to share. You're going to laugh your ass off. Jesse Mirko, punter, Shane. At Vanderbilt, he was at Ohio State. He transferred from Ohio State because he thought he'd pump more, but he actually didn't. So I was like, I just thought that was hilarious. And then, these are rough. This is rough, Shane. Caden Davis, Ole Miss kicker, says, hell of a story. He went from being a starter to being benched, and then he's a starter again, guns a blazing. At the end of the season, he goes to the tank, missed a couple kicks. and at the combine didn't kick real well. I think he's a head case. Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jade. I've literally never heard a kicker. I've heard that before, like a lineman. Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jade. Literally never heard that about a damn kicker. Have you?
No, no. Not the report you want out either for a kicker.
Oh, jeez. Hey, shout out Horton hears you. He just donated.
Thanks, cuz.
Donated one to Lucha. Lucha,
welcome to the family.
So, hey, that's all I got. We hit about an hour here, Shane. Yeah. But here's my plan for tomorrow. I don't know. It'll probably be late because the NFL draft's tomorrow, of course. That's why we're doing this. But it kicks off, I think at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central. And it'll go for, three? They stretch it out three and a half hours. But when it's over, Shane, I'm going to do a live show after recap. You know, there's always something fun to talk about. There's always viral clips and who in the hell knows, you know, reacting to what just happened. So I'm going to hop on late. I may have a bourbon on hand. But that's the game plan for tomorrow's show.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. What time do you think? Like midnight? Jeez.
Well, see, I don't know when it ends. That's why I'd give a time if I could, but I don't know. Sometimes they're quick. Remember a couple of years ago, Shane, when there was I think it was the Vikings. They didn't turn in their pick. So two or three people ran up there and turned in their pick.
Jeez.
That sped up the whole process. You know what?
I know. It kind of blows my mind how long the first round actually takes. So maybe something crazy happens halfway and we jump on. But if there's no drama, then
always drama.
I will definitely hit your thumbs up tomorrow morning when I get up.
Cuz of Betty's got a question though. Shane, what kind of wings you got for the draft tomorrow?
Oh, dry. I'm a dry rub guy now. I used to get them wet ones, but not anymore, man. I just can't do it. I feel like there was a deal, if I'm not mistaken, maybe not quote me, but Buffalo Wild Wings has got an all-you-can-eat deal that's about to pop up, like $20. So I'm about to change that menu. So maybe we'll go there and watch a little bit of the draft. I don't know.
Buffalo Wild Wings, is that your go-to for wings?
When they're all-you-can-eat, you know? I mean, I don't have, you know.
Let's talk quality. I'm more of a quality than a quantity type man. You're about to pass, I shouldn't say that. You know, you got one wing for the rest of your life, and they're about to hand it to you. What are you going to eat?
Oh, man. See, that's not fair. You know where I live, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you can live anywhere in the world you want to live.
Yeah, but I've not had wings everywhere in the world, you know? As far as my palate on wings, it's very limited. We're talking Hooters. We're talking Buffalo Wild Wings. What's the green one?
Wingstop.
Quaker Steak was, you know, I may put them up there the last
Quaker time Steak. Will you get your oil changed?
No, it's a no. I guess they used to, but there's one at Sevierville. It was really good.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to think of the best one. You know, one that is kind of a surprise is Buddy's Barbecue, man. No shit. For some reason their dry wings are fantastic. I'm not saying that this would, you know, win this competition thing, but I would probably put Wingstop or Quaker right now.
Yeah, I'm as confused as the cousin, Shay. Quaker State is a motor oil.
No.
As far as I know.
Man, let me Google this real quick while you're talking.
And real quick, hey, shout out cousin Brian. Brian Moore, he gave us $20, Shane. Nothing important to say. Just want to support these cousins for putting out another great show.
That's a restaurant.
We appreciate you, Brian, even if he's in Quaker State land over here.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Appreciate that, man. In fact, he just bought me some wings, Mike, so I'm going to go over there and eat them. At Quaker, it's not Quaker State. It's Quaker Steak and Lube.
Okay. Well, you said state many times.
Well, it sounds
the same. Cousin Mike says I like Pennzoil myself.
Ah,
man, they're making me hungry though. I think I'm gonna get some pizza. I'm gonna get some wings for the draft.
Wings? What's your wings then?
Shout out. You know, again, this is where I live, so I can throw it back on you. I live in Nashville. So many great places to get wings, but I really like the wings down the street at Edley's Barbecue.
You like everything over there. there's not, you just pick random stuff off their menu and you, it's the best ever. So I did enjoy my visit over there. And it, and like you said, that would be a tough one. It, at least over here, I have limited selection. So it's, you know, you kind of know where you're going to go over there. It's, there's a million of them and they're all probably like the best restaurant if they're over here. You know what I'm saying? You could took number 20 best wings over there in Nashville and put them over here this side of Knoxville, and yep, they would have been the number one restaurant. I thought about that. What, true story, Mike. On my way home today, I stopped off, me and the wife, we stopped at Outback and in Pigeon Forge, and the place was a ghost town. It was earlier, it was a lunch deal, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know, it's a shame, because if this restaurant were in my small little town, it'd be packed every single day. But instead, they put it up there with all the other restaurants.
Mm. That is a shame. You, did you tell them?
No, no, no. I just had some Alice Springs chicken, and I got out of there.
I knew if we could get you talking food, we could get you going a little bit longer. You know what?
Yeah, the show's just getting great now, isn't it?
All right, so hey, that's the plan. We'll do. I'll be jumping on after the draft, hopefully with a belly full of wings and pizza or what have you, and some bourbon on hand, just to recap everything. But anything else, brother? Before we won't see you for a couple days.
Yeah, no, that's it, man. I look forward to seeing you guys soon, and you know, keep the notifications on because something crazy happens, me and Mike are going to jump on and talk about it. It may happen in the draft, so. I look forward to all the excitement, and I look forward to seeing y'all again.
All right. So that for Cousin Shane and I, that's going to do it. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.